I want us tonight to talk about some of the lesser known parables of Jesus. We do not have the text to put on the screen. It's already been on the screen. He taught in parables, and he never taught without using parables. But it may be that you don't know what a parable is. What is a parable? Well, the answer that is usually given, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's not a fable. In a fable, you have animals that talk. In a fable, you have, a fable is something that is just imaginary. You know what a parable is? A parable is an earthly story. It's not a fable. It's something that could have happened and may have happened that people were well acquainted with. And it comes from one Greek word. If I say parabole, would you hear the word parable in that? The word parable is that one Greek word that has been brought over and made into one English word. But to make this one Greek word, you took two Greek words and put them together. The para part of this means beside. If you think about parallel lines, that'll help you get this concept of para. They go on into infinity and they're never crossed. One is right beside the other. And the word below in the verb form, bole, in the word parable, means to toss something. And so a parable is something that is laid down. It is tossed down beside something else. And so when the Bible talks about a parable, it is simply a very simple story that anybody could understand, and it is laid beside some eternal heavenly truth. You know what Jesus did? The common people heard him gladly. And you and I need to understand that Jesus was so very simple in the way that he taught. He could have come with a vocabulary of heaven itself and could have used the biggest words that were knowable in all of the Greek language. That's not what he did. Folks, it is remarkable that the entirety of the Greek New Testament has less than 6,000 different Greek words. I want you to understand that. That has very little to do with the matter of parables, except it is to say that in the English language, you remember that big, thick dictionary that you may have seen in a school library that was some 6 or 8 inches across, 250,000 English words. The eternal truths of the gospel are found with a vocabulary of less than 6,000 Greek words. And so what Jesus did to reveal these great truths, he came and he made it as simple as he could, and we ought to be thankful that he used all of these stories to lay down stories that would illustrate heavenly truths. How many parables did he use? Well, the common answer is about 30 parables. There are long parables and there are short parables. Many of them are only one verse that's involved in reading that one verse. And so what he did was he came and there was this truth that he wanted to give, and he gave 30 parables. But in reality, if you look at the list that is usually given about his list of parables, there are far more parables than that. If you are reading the New Testament through, and I hope you are, you will see the parables in Mark, and it is in the plural, and right after the verse, and look for it as you read it this week, right after the word parables in the plural, there are some three or four parables that are there that are one sentence long, and they're called parables. So they're not well-known parables. If I talk about the parable of the sower, how often have you heard that a man went out and sowed his seed? Jesus explains the parable of the sower. He then gives the parable of the tares, and the parable of the sower is found in the book of Matthew, it's found in the book of Mark, and it's found in the book of Luke. If you had been a first century reader of the New Testament, and you only had the copy of the book of Matthew, if you only had the copy of the book of Mark, if you only had the copy of the book of Luke, you still would have known this earthly story that Jesus lays down. There must be some importance to that parable. And so that parable is explained in Matthew. That parable is explained in Mark, and it is explained in Luke. The Lord says, I want to tell you, I'm using this story, a parable, and I want you to be able to understand how you use parables. If you've got your Bible, look in Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, where you have that parable of the sower. And that's in the early verses, those first nine verses of Mark chapter 4. When he was alone, those who were around him with the 12 asked him about this parable. And he explains, it's been given to you to understand these parables. But you need to understand that it is a mystery to others because others will not be able to understand it. If you do not understand the spiritual nature of the parable of the sower, and you walked away from Jesus that day, you would have thought he had given a lesson about agriculture. If that's all you had heard, and if you did not have a biblical understanding, you readily understand who that man was. You readily understand what that seed is. You readily understand what the wayside soil was, but that's because you know the explanation of it. And so that is that Old Testament quotation that says that seeing they will see, but they will not be able to see. And hearing they may hear, but they will not be able to understand. And there's a part of God's plan as to why he made this gospel story so simple. And then he says, a key verse in Mark chapter 4, having given the parable of the sower, he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables? Hang on a minute. Does not that illustrate the importance of understanding how to use parables? Now, in Matthew chapter 13, there are those seven parables generally that are listed in Mark chapter 13. But when you get to Matthew chapter 13, he only explains the parable of the sower, and then the parable of the tares, and the rest of the parables are not mentioned at all. So what I want us to do is to look at some of the unknown or the lesser known parables of Jesus. This one is from Mark chapter 4. Still have your Bibles open? In Mark chapter 4, you get down to verse 26. And he says to them, and this is a parable that you may have heard, but you may have forgotten it. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Oh, this sounds exactly like the parable of the sower. Oh, no. Totally different story. It's not just some of the seed on the wayside, on the footpath, on the place where people had walked, and some on the thorny ground, and some on the stony ground, and some on the good soil. Oh, no. He says, I want to explain to you what the kingdom of God is. It is as if a man takes the seed and spreads it and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Isn't that an amazing story? Here's a man that's a farmer, sows the seed, and he has no idea how it all develops. And the reality is, neither does mankind understand it today. What is that in that, what is an apparently dormant seed that causes it to grow forth? But the kingdom of heaven is as if a man sowed the seed, for the earth yields crops by itself. And then he says, first there is the blade, then the head, which if you think about wheat, that's the top part of that grain, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, and because the harvest has come. What's that mean? I wish I had understood this as a young missionary. I wish I'd understood that Jesus is saying, whenever the kingdom of heaven is being produced, you sow the seed and it does not produce the full bloom immediately. I remember as a pre-teenager in the church, hearing missionaries come and say, we went to Africa and we baptized 300 people in 1 year. My, oh my. I thought the church that I was in was great when we might have 20 baptisms in a gospel meeting or something like that. But can you imagine going into a place and sowing the seed and immediately there's a daily growth in the church? I went to New Zealand. And what a rude awakening it was to me that we're not going to baptize 300 people in the first year we're in New Zealand. You know what you do? You sow the seed. You get the seed out there, and then it takes time for the church to be born, to be produced, and to become a fully grown church. I hope you're planning to be here the weekend of July the 4th. That will be the 100th anniversary of this church. Those individuals who came in 1923, Jerry Hopkins' father came the very next year. So the Hopkins name is still, in that sense, a part of this church. Can you imagine those people who assembled in that house when they sowed the seed? Would they have ever dreamed? Would they have ever in their wildest imagination have dreamed $259,000 for Mission Sunday? And whenever you stop and read that, all of a sudden you recognize that here we are involved in the planting the church in Paraguay. What's going to happen there? Who knows? First the blade. Then give it time, and then there's the head. And finally, as the head ripens, there is the fullness of that head. That's the way the kingdom of God grows. The work in Easter Island. the work in Fiji. Do you know that the first year of the work in the Fiji Islands, there were only three who were baptized? Ron Coleman and I baptized the first three people in Fiji. You know what happened immediately after that? The work exploded in growth. Why? The difference in the laying of the soil. But let us hasten on. That's a very simple earthly story. It doesn't need much of an explanation, for it says the kingdom of heaven does not reach fruition all at once. In Matthew chapter 13, there are seven parables that we talk about. But when you get at the very end of the chapter, there is the parable of the scribe. Here's a parable that you may not know. He's given the parable of the sower, the parable of the tares, the parable, you know, of the mustard seed, the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl of great price, the parable of the fish net. And we know all of those parables because we spent time looking at them. But at the end of that chapter, Jesus says this. He says to them, the kingdom of heaven is Jesus said to them, have you understood these things? They said unto him, yes, Lord. Then he said to them, verse 52, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of God is like a householder who brings out of his treasures things new and old. We may have trouble understanding this because we do not understand the work of a scribe. In one sense, if we use the word stenographer, we might have that understanding of it. That secretary in an office who might take that shorthand and transcribe that shorthand in the ancient days, taking it off of something that's been, spoken into a microphone, you understand, and brings all of that over and copies it down. Now then, without a printing press, they would have to copy it again and again and again. Are you aware how knowledgeable scribes would be of that which they copied over and over and over again? He says the kingdom of heaven has within it scribes, or who those who are like scribes, who are instructed in the kingdom of heaven. Because he is instructed. This is not an inspired writer. There were those individuals that were inspired by God in every word that they wrote. But he says this is just an ordinary scribe, but he's been copying the law of God so much. He's read it over and over again and made copy after copy of it. Wait a minute. Isn't that you? I know you're not writing it down. But how many times have you heard it over and over and over again? And some of you have had it over and over again so that you're able to go and tell these Bible stories about Jesus to little children. Up and down the hallway. From the time that they're able to even sit up, we have Bible classes for them, and they are those individuals who know the story of Jesus. They're like a scribe. And they go in there and they teach things that are brand new, things never heard. But they'll repeat sometimes things that are already known. And are you aware how many truths in the Bible are repeated over and over and over again? But it's not just those who are up and down the hallway. It's those who teach in a more public way. Those men who in this congregation are going and preaching in Clewiston and helping the work in Jupiter while they're trying to find a preacher that's there. You know what you are? You're like a scribe. You go into the treasure that you have and you pull out of treasures things that are old and things that are new. And a scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like that individual whenever he teaches. He tries to bring out that which is old, and let me tell you, don't ever be ashamed to preach that which is old. Do we not sing it? They who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Don't think that every time you walk into the pulpit or stand up and teach a Bible class, people didn't get it the first time. You may have said it 10 times and they still don't have it. It may be the freshest thing they've ever heard. Things have come about in their life and they may be new to that individual. But I would encourage those of you who are involved in preaching or teaching Bible classes that you study deep enough so that in every lesson, as far as possible, you may not just teach old things, you may teach new things. Like the word parable and what it means. That may be something you have known, that may have been something that is entirely fresh. And this very parable may be brand new to so many who are here. A lesser known parable of Jesus. We'll only look at one more of the lesser known parables of Jesus, and that is the blind leaders. In Matthew chapter 15, his disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, you offended these people in what you said." And he said to them, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has planted or has not planted will be rooted." Well, leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall in the ditch. Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." "What are you talking about?" "Well, it may be what you're talking about, that which defiles a man, is not these external laws that your fathers have made about whether you can eat, work, harvest the grain on the Sabbath day. You've made void the commandments of God through this. Or is it possible that whenever he said, if the blind lead the blind, they will fall into the ditch, and the disciples immediately understood what blind men leading blind men would be about, but they didn't understand the application of it. And so Jesus explains, using this as the background, if the blind lead the blind, they'll fall into the ditch. At least let's make this application to our life. Whenever you're trying to lead anybody to the Lord, don't be a blind leader. Make sure you know what you're saying, but don't ever be guilty in leading somebody to the Lord. Let me tell you what the church fathers think about this. Let me tell you what I heard some preacher in the Church of Christ say about this. That's being a blind leader, because you don't know for sure that that which you are teaching is something that is right and good. You're blind as to the source. But if when you're teaching others, you say, this is what God says, and any time you plant any other plant of spiritual truth that the Lord Himself has not planted in this word, that shall be rooted up. And you and I need to understand that. I had one other parable that if we'd had time, we would look at it, but we cannot look at it. Let's just get to that song of the invitation now. That is responding to the parable teller. Think about our response to Jesus who came and made it so simple. Isaiah said that when he comes, there will be a way of holiness, and it is so simple that a man, even though is a fool, would be able to understand it. You know what the parable said? Parable teller made simple so that you can understand it? The path to heaven. And that simple message he gave begins with believing the stories about Jesus. That's why Soldiers of Christ in the first hour on Sunday night is so vitally important. Tell us the story of Jesus, and our faith will become deeper and deeper in Him, and that will help us make decisions, right decisions in our life. And to become a Christian, you've got to believe in Him enough that you're going to change your life. You're going to make a decision to follow Him. That's what repentance is. And Jesus, the parable teller, says, except you repent, you'll perish. And Jesus said, the parable teller says, that an individual must confess with his lips that Jesus is the Son of God. And that parable teller says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You can be baptized this very night and do what he who made the way to heaven so unbelievably clear and simple has told you to do. And then as a child of God, be like that seed that is planted that produces the kingdom of God. You'll first only be able to know this much, the blade as it comes out of the ground. But keep studying and keep growing. And as you keep studying and growing, there will be the head that develops on that tender plant that first comes up. And eventually there will be the fruition as that head begins to bloom. What happens to the kingdom as it is established is what God wants to happen in your life also. Do you need to respond to the invitation? If you want to become a child of God, or if you're a wayward child of God who needs to come back home, this invitation song is for you, and we urge you to come right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?